17. John 17, and we find ourselves in the middle of the high priestly prayer, the Lord's Prayer, really. And let's read this morning verses 9 through 19. I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I've come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I have come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come in the name of the Lord Jesus, your beloved Son. And then as we have read this prayer of the Lord Jesus, we pray, give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see and enable us to understand. Teach us proofs here, and we thank you that we know that the Lord Jesus is at your right hand even now making intercession for us, even as he prayed for his disciples in this prayer. We pray that we would be a reflection of you, and we pray that your grace will have such an impact in our lives that the world will see that you are our God and we're your people, and that how we live and the things that we do are clearly and plainly seen, the effects of your grace in our lives. We do thank you for these that have followed this morning in believers' baptism. We ask, Lord, that you would guard and protect, provide for them all that is necessary to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In his name we do pray. Amen. In this prayer, we find ourselves in the middle of this prayer. I want you to know that when I look at this prayer, and we have not sought to rush through it because there are some lessons that we can learn. I want you to know when the Lord Jesus prays, it's not like we were talking about this morning in my Sunday school class in Titus chapter 3 that be subject to those that are in authority. And then we ended up in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and following where it says that we're to pray for all, for kings that are in authority. That there are some times, I want you to know, when it looks like, especially to those that we're subject to, our presidents and our bosses and people that we are closely connected to, the Lord tells us that we're to pray for them. But I want you to know, there are times, oftentimes, I don't know how to pray, honestly. That we're confronted with needs and I don't see things the way they are. But I want you to know that's not the case with the Lord Jesus. None whatsoever. His prayer is perfect. Amen. And that as he has prayed here and as he has lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And then he is praying for his disciples. Those that were given to him by the Father. I want you to know that God's people are his prized possession. Amen. They are the jewels that the Lord, when he will make up his jewels. We need to remember that. And that there are some things in this portion of Scripture I confess I do not understand. But yet at the same time I do know this, is I know when the Lord Jesus is praying, he knows exactly the will of God. He has come and declared the word of God, and he is very God himself, and he prays, and there are some things very deep for me that I do not understand and comprehend, but yet at the same time, I do know this, is that when the Lord Jesus is praying, that those that he is praying for, they are precious and valuable to him in his sight, for he gives his life's blood on Calvary's cross. Amen. And I want you to know the Lord is busy about, and he's preparing a bride. Went to a wedding yesterday. That's a wonderful thing. You know, weddings are nice things, aren't they? When I mean they all come in, and the best man comes in, and the bridesmaids come in, and the little flower girl comes in, and then here comes the bride. Everybody stands up, and I mean, it's just applauding. I want you to know the Lord Jesus is busy, and he's busy and about. He gave himself for the church. He's preparing for himself a bride. She is precious to him. He has bought her with his own precious blood. I want you to know that. And I, as he's praying for his disciples, I'm thinking that the disciples, I know that doesn't say the disciples were not there when he prayed this prayer. But I know that, you remember, it was he has come to the closing discourse, or the private discussion, or the farewell sermon that the Lord Jesus has presented to his disciples. When he said to them, I'm leaving you. And where I'm going, you can't come. And then the passage is very plain in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. Very plain and clear. Their hearts were troubled. What now? But can you imagine when they heard the prayer of the Lord Jesus? What that meant to them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that you gave me. Thine they were. They're mine, and mine are thine. Can you imagine what that meant to the disciples? Can you imagine that? That when he's saying, I'm leaving you. And so he has loved them, and he's loved them to the end. We cannot discount that. And I want you to know something, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, that as the Lord Jesus was praying and interceding for his disciples, the Lord Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you and for us today. Is that not a great thing to know? That oftentimes we are at crossroads and we don't know how we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit, he with groanings that cannot be uttered, that he knows the will of God and he prays for us. And so I want to just simply say, as he is praying for them, that I wonder what that meant to them. When he said, I've manifested thy name, they have kept thy word, that you should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then he is continuing praying for them. He's saying in this portion of Scripture, he's saying to them, I'm now no more in the world. Look at it in verse 11. But these are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He's saying to the Heavenly Father, I've kept them. I have kept them. And yet at the same time, I'm leaving. I have announced I'm leaving, and I'm leaving them behind in this fallen world. I want you to know, I know this, is that in where we are, 2014 in the United States of America, we have Christian churches almost on every corner. And it's not a crime to distribute gospel tracts at the BOK Center. It's not a crime. We can even go to other public places and pass out gospel tracts. We can even get on soapboxes, and we can even stand on busy intersections in our nation, and we can say, flee from the wrath to come. We can do that. And people will drive by, or we may be standing at the corner of 32nd and the memorial there around the corner from the abortion clinic with signs that say that around here, whether you know it or not, there are babies being slaughtered every day. We can do that. And at the same time, I want you to know where we are in our day with whatever tiny bit of persecution we are getting with honking and gestures and signs. And you, sometimes you can read people's lips what they're saying. They're saying, you've lost your mind. But I want you to know that was not the case with the disciples. It wasn't. The Lord Jesus had made it very plain and clear that I am leaving, and I have kept them, and now he's praying, Holy Father, keep through thine own name. And then in the scriptures, we know that in this fallen world, where there is principalities and powers against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the world that loves darkness, and the world that hated the Lord Jesus, the Lord is saying, I'm leaving you, and you're staying here, but I'm asking the Father to keep you. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? We ought to sing right now, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his, oh, I'm asking you something. When I think about it, that's a really a kind of a happy tune. But when it's all said and done, that's true today. That was true then. Amen. Father, keep them. He has announced to them beforehand and just a few hours before the world that will hate them. They have hated the Lord Jesus. And he said, if you were of the world, the world would love his own. But then he says, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Think about it, what he's saying. And then he says, and now I come to thee, in verse 13, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. In verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christians, what you guys professed this morning in the baptismal waters, let me tell you what you've done. You've raised the banner of the Lord Jesus, and you've said, I'm not of the world. I mean, you've done it. That you talk about 4th of July. You talk about emancipation. You talk about liberation. Yeah, what is it called, 4th of July? Independence Day. Thank you. Us Germans, we're kind of slow to learn that kind of stuff. Freiheitstag. That's what it's called. Independence Day. It's what you've declared publicly. Is that you've raised the banner of the Lord Jesus and you're saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am in the world and I'm not of the world. He is my Lord and my Savior. That is my King, and that's my nationality, and that's what I'm pressing toward to see him. Amen. He said, I'm not taking you out of, he said, I'm not asking you to take out of the world. What the Lord Jesus is praying for is that as they are in the world, that as they are different than what the world is, and that you would keep them from the evil, that folks, that right there is a drastic, it's that which brought all of the disciples the loss of their lives. Folks, that was the case then, and folks, that's the case in our day. Protect them and guard them. I know Peter learned that lesson as he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had already ascended to heaven. I want you to know that. Peter is at the end of his life and he's writing this letter. And he's writing, he said, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, that's something else, isn't it? Amen. You talk about an inheritance. And I look at verse 5 in that chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You say, Pastor, why do you believe in once saved, always saved? Well, I can tell you why. Number one, the Father gave us to the Son. Number two, the Son redeemed us on the cross. He's purchased us. We've been bought. We've been bought with a price. I mean, we're talking about the currency has been laid before Almighty God. I want you to know that. The currency of the cross and the burial, and you say, well, how do I know that currency was acceptable in the eyes of God? Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes, he arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I want you to hallelujah. Once saved, always saved. Once you're saved. We're not talking about some kind of emotional something that had no effect in your life. But I want you to know, once the Lord has laid hold of your heart, you've been born from above, you have the Spirit of God living within you, you are kept by the power of God. Amen. You've all heard me say that, those of you that are believers and followers of the Lord Jesus. That's really not good counsel from the pastor. I want to just simply say to you, see how far you can run and hide from the Lord if you belong to him. It ain't gonna, I want you to know, you're gonna be just like Heidi. You say, what has Heidi got to do with it? Everything. Heidi's got 3 boys. She makes me nervous. She said, where's Ren? We went up there and watched a Red play yesterday, baseball, and Riley and Ren, they're over there. You don't see them kids at all during the game. They're, who knows what they're doing? They're just playing and batting a aluminum can around or something. And she says, she asked Josh, she said, have you seen Riley? I think he's over there. Then Riley comes. Have you seen Ren? And where's Ren? Are you go see about Ren. Where's Ren? I took them kids with me one time. I have to tell you all, I need to confess. I took them 3 boys with me to a TU football game a couple of years ago. And so I thought, well, they're old enough to go to the concession stand, and I'll stay right there and watch my seat. I don't think I ever told you, did I, Heidi? And I want you to know, at halftime started, 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by. I'm looking at the watch. I'm looking, where's them kids? I said, they've been abducted, kidnapped, and everything else. We're talking about 25 minutes later. You remember that, Red? Oh, that's good. I remember it. The whole point of it is this. There is a jealousy in a good sense of the word. Amen. That the Father has. And when the Lord Jesus is praying for his disciples, and I just really wonder the disciples at what they're hearing. Jesus, pray. Sometimes we pray for each other. And sometimes we pray not so much to be praying to the Father, but sometimes we just simply pray for somebody else to hear what we're praying. But that's not the case here. The Lord Jesus is praying, I've kept him, will you not keep him? And so as we go in this passage of Scripture, we find that he's saying, Father, you keep them. But then in the second place, I want you to know there is more in this passage, and I want us to take a look at a little bit of that this morning. is in the third place when he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What in the world is that word of sanctification? That's really not a word that we use in the vocabulary in the English language, is it? Not really. I'm not even sure if it's even used in modern day translations in the Bible. It probably uses set them apart. But the word that is used is definitely very meaningful. The Lord Jesus is saying to the Father, sanctify them or set them apart. I got on my notes. Look up the word sanctify. The word sanctify is from the root word, and it comes that same root word. It means holy, holiness, righteousness. I want to ask the question right here. Haven't they already been sanctified? I want you to know there is a positional sanctification. The Father which gave them me is greater than all. He's already, I want you to know, when we're saved, we are sanctified. Amen. We've been set apart. My grandmother used to have sanctified dishes. Anybody here, can you relate to that? When we've got company coming over, this is confessional time again. When we got company coming over and we got a meal or something going, I want you to know I don't get the Tupperware stuff out. Plastic spoons and paper plates and, you know, napkins. No, we get the sanctified dishes. We get the Sunday stuff. We get the stuff that's of importance, of value. We get the stuff where you have to have two plates. I said, what is this for? She said, them are, I don't know what she calls them, the big chargers. I have no idea what that means, chargers. And then you got other stuff on top of it, and then you got other. We ended up in Germany one time with a family that they were classy people. They were educated people. And we had breakfast, and they had stuff laid out, Rosenthal dishes on breakfast. Then 3-4 glasses and 3-4 forks and little spoons and all kinds of stuff sitting around. I want you to know, Frankie and I, we sat down. I had no idea what was going on here. I said, where do we start? I think I made my point. The point is this, is that set apart different. Not ordinary. Not common. And such were some of you, but you've been washed. As we were reading this morning in Titus chapter 3, be ready for every good work, not a brawler. And then remember what you were. And what the Lord Jesus is praying for his disciples is saying, I want you to be as conditionally as what you already are positionally. Does that make any sense? I think in one way that you can illustrate that is maybe the royalty in England. When one of the royal people does something that's questionable, it'd be in every newspaper, isn't it? That such and such and the son of the grandson of the queen has done this or said this and on and on. And everybody's in uproar. Why are they in uproar? They're in uproar because of their actions and their lives have not fallen in line in what they are positionally in the Lord Jesus. What they are in their position as king and queens. And that's what the Lord is praying here for these. He set apart, not common. You see, not the ordinary. When you begin to read and you look at that word, it's all the way throughout the scriptures, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. It is the setting apart. The very fact of what he has done, you see, in what we are. It's the separation of the believer from the world and his behavior by the Father through the Word. As I was working on this sermon, I was of all hymns that I was thinking about, there was one hymn that came to my mind, and we only sing it maybe one time a year. And that's the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As I was working on that sermon, I'm thinking, you know, of all of the hymns that talk about holiness and godliness and that, there's one stanza in that hymn that is a powerful stanza and a powerful confession of the fact of what the grace of God and why the Lord Jesus came. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus came, listen to me. The Lord Jesus came to positionally to place us in the heavenlies in Christ, but the Lord Jesus came to make a people holy. And I want you to know the holiness is not what I used to think holiness was when I was a kid. The Schultzes, they can bear testimony to the fact of what I'm fixing to say. But what I used to think about holiness was the nuns and the monks and the monasteries and the colorless, the black and the white, the gray that has absolutely no life to it. I used to think that was holiness. Folks, that ain't holiness at all. There are some denominations, they believe that holiness is let's have cars without any chrome on it. There are some who think that holiness is let's not have any cars at all, let's just do horse and buggy. There are some people who think that holiness and being separate from the world is let's not use any electricity, let's use candles. Folks, that's not what it means. That's not the holiness that he's talking about. Sanctify them through thy truth. But that one stanza in that quote of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, let me read you that one stanza if I can find it here, is found in the tail end of that. Where is it? I think I got my notes out of order. Surely not. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that does what? That transfigures you and me. I want to tell you something. I want you to know what a privilege it is for me to stand before people and preach the gospel. I want you to know what an honor to point people to the Lord Jesus. That when we read in the scriptures, if a man hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek also, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. When you begin to read that and you see the human heart, you say, absolutely an impossibility. But not when the Lord has laid hold of our hearts and changes our hearts. And then the possibilities are to pray for them that are in authority and that submit to all of those that are in authority, even though with all kinds of question marks, that I can say, you know what, I read 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, and love, you see, the love that comes from God, the love that is part of the fruit of the Spirit is a possibility and a reality. Because that's why the Lord Jesus came to change people's lives. Amen. And the ability to learn, to love those that hate you. The Lord is praying for his disciples. They hated me, they're going to hate you. And they're going to put you to death, and they're going to think they're doing God's service. But I want you to know, the Father is going to keep you. And I'm praying that you will be sanctified and set apart, that these graces that are, that which is a reflection of the Heavenly Father. Amen. That you might be like the Heavenly Father who causes his Son to rise on the just and on the unjust. I want you to know that very sun that is out here right now, the very rain that falls from the skies, it drops on both those who are righteous and on the unrighteous. All of those, that common grace, a blessing to all people. And he wants us to respond exactly the same way that you might be like the Heavenly Father. Isn't that a good thing? I'm not done yet with that stanza. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. He is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty. He is the succor to those, to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool and the soul of time his slave. Our God is marching on. Think about it. To make them holy. Is that not really what that's all about when you think about it, when you read the scriptures over and again? Listen to this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies. We heard last night in that wedding. And then he says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is all of that? All of that is sanctification, being set apart, becoming what we already are positionally. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in front of the very big crowd when he had multitudes around him, and he taught his disciples saying these things. Listen to what he's saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. What is all of that? Sanctification. All of that is being set apart. And I want you to know that the Father will see to it. I want you to know that. There is not anybody that's going to end up in heaven that there is not a work of grace in their heart, regardless how short or how long their lives are. I want you to know that. And if the Lord saves a person, as he did the thief on the cross, I mean, even there, that thief on the cross, I want you to know he was positionally sanctified. At the same time, what did he do? He said, remember me when thou enterest into your kingdom. The writer to the book of Hebrews says, he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness. I want you to know that. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, there is a difference. I'm going to send them out into the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How is that work? I want you to know one of the things that grieves me to no end, honestly. And you all have heard me say that many times since I've been the pastor here in this church. We probably boast more numerically, numbers-wise, a Christianity in this nation than we ever have before. We have almost churches on every other corner. We have mega churches springing up everywhere. But yet at the same time, I want to ask the question, where is the sanctification? Where is the grace of God seen in people's lives? Where is the salt and where is the light? Amen. Do you know it was Barnard that evaluated people who named the name of Christ? And you know what he said? He said, there is no notable difference between those who name the name of Christ and those who are not Christians, who do not name the name of Christ, in the way they conduct business, in the way they do their marriages, in the way they do on their jobs, in the way they are in the community. There is no notable difference. Question, if that's the case, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I want to say, is there something wrong with that prayer? The lying and the cheating and the stealing and the jealousy and the not paying bills and being evicted and making promises that are not kept, shoddy work at the job, unfaithfulness, immorality, adultery. I'm asking you. Jesus died a cross to see that he would not make men holy and to set them free. The Lord Jesus is praying, sanctify them, set them apart. How do we do that? We do that with this book. And let me tell you what, Pastor, I want you to know I'm more so convicted and convinced of the fact that what we're doing, preaching through the scriptures, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, and even if it takes a long time, it is here that we find the power of God to the sanctification, that we would say, Lord, will you help me to understand what you're saying in this book? And then I want you to know when the Holy Spirit does the work and the conviction in the heart, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be sanctified. Why? I want you to know this book is truth. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. His word is truth. There is no question about it here. Amen. And so when you think about all of that, he's saying it, sanctify them. Thy word is truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, you all know that. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then this last verse says, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Peter understood that, didn't he? Did he not learn that lesson? As he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, let me read that and then we're just about done. Is as he says there, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober in the hope of the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which he called you is holy. And we're not talking about the gray. We're not talking about the black and white. We're not even talking about the... And I know there are lots of people that it's the length of the hair and all kinds of stuff. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, that how do we respond, you see, and what is it that we do in this lost and dying world? Listen to it. But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father who is without respect of person, judge it according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What do you think? And then he continues on and he says that in that last portion of scripture, he says in chapters 2, wherefore lay aside all malice. I want to ask you something, Calvary Baptist Church, brothers and sisters in Christ. Is there anything in your life that you have not dealt with as far as forgiveness in other people's lives? Is there something that you need to confess and you need to say, I have been wrong here, I've sinned against you, or someone has sinned against me, but I will not forgive them? Do you know what I'm talking about? And I think every one of us, we can raise our hand and we can say, I can give you events in the course of my life that there are things that people have done to me or I have done to them, and I'm not going to deal with it. Forget it. I'll just push it aside. Listen to me. You know what I'm saying? There are some people, there are some Christians who will say, I would rather die than do that. I've got news for you. If that's the case, I don't believe that you know the grace of God. We're to lay those things aside. And let me tell you what that is. It's when you do that, let me tell you what you're doing. You're displaying the Heavenly Father, who is merciful and gracious and forgiving, and who is kind, and he does good to them that despitefully, there are people who are spitting in the face of God right now at this very second, and at this very second, they're bringing children into the world illegitimately. He has given life and blessed the womb, and at the same time, they spit right in the eye of God. And what is it that brings people like that to repentance? It is his kindness and his patience and long-suffering that brings people to repentance. Calvary Baptist Church, let's quit talking and let's start acting. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us to put on and to put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercies, beloved. Well, let us put on the characteristics and that which he is. He says, lay aside. Before that, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then he says, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and evils, envies and all evil speaking. And then as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you grow thereby. I want to say that you get on the breast of God's word, mother's milk of God's word, and grow thereby and be sanctified. Amen. You say, Pastor, you stepped all over me this morning. Let me tell you what I suggest. Let me tell you where it starts. Well, how do we address that? We don't have time for that. How do we address that? How do we address that? Let me tell you how you address it. You address it face to face with the Lord Jesus and being joined to him. That's where it starts. If you don't have the grace of God in you, I want you to know you're building a house with butter to the sun. Let's see how far you're going to get. Isn't that the truth? Be joined to the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord, you have exposed me. And Lord, your word has cut me deep this morning. Lord, you have exposed me. I'm going to come and run and flee and repent, and I'm going to confess my sins. And I see the impossibilities of my human heart. Will you change my heart? And that where I'm at work, that I quit the belly aching and the griping and the complaining. That I work 8 hours for 8 hours worth of pay. That I love my wife and raise my children. That I honor all men and love the brotherhood and fear God and fear the King. That I do all of that. How do I do that? By the grace of God and his word. Amen. You got to be in the word. If that little baby back there that Mia has got in her arm, if she only nurses once a week, I've got news for you. We're going to have a memorial service here pretty soon. But I want to tell you something. That little baby, I heard another one. That little Jones kid back there. Let me tell you what them little kids will do. I guarantee you, listen to me. Let me tell you what them little kids will do. When they get a bellyache and they get hungry, they're going to go, rah! And they're going to go, rah! Until somebody does something about it. And if you don't go, rah! Spiritually, I want you to know you're dead and you're still in your sins. Will you not flee to Christ? And will you not say, oh, Lord Jesus, as you prayed for your disciples, and as you said, I sanctify myself for them that they might be sanctified according to the truth. That, Lord, will you not set me apart? And I'm not talking about wearing a little bunny or whatever something, but that is the beauty of the inner man that springs from the heart that displays the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, and all of those things. Churches are being packed right now. There's millions of people are leaving churches right now, this very hour across our nation. And a lot of those millions will end up in cafeterias. And when the time is all said and done, they'll bellyache and bitch about the food and the waiter and the president and the preacher. And he preached too long. And did you hear what he's preaching again? He's back. He's still back in John. I'm going to be in John until we get done with John. And that's not a threatening. I want you to know, I feel like we are in an oasis. It's kind of like I found a treasure and I can't get away from it. Do I understand all of it? No, I don't. But I want to tell you something. There is one nugget after another one. There's one diamond after another one. There, you talk about the gold rush. Oh, Lord, drive us to your word. Sanctify us. Show us the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Show us that he came to make men holy and to set men free. And then I tell you what we can do. Then when we leave these walls, that we can say to a lost and dying world, the Savior has come. And let me tell you why he has come. I know he has come and set me free. And then you can say, I pledge allegiance to the Savior. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I pledge allegiance to him. Why? He has set me free. He's the Savior of sinners. Amen. Oh, Lord, may you drive us to the Lord Jesus. Sanctify us. And that the change of our lives is seen in our own homes. That husbands and wives can see it in their own lives. That children can see it in their own parents. That church members can see it with each other, how the Lord has laid hold of lives. Listen to me, we cannot be content with where we are to say, I've grown so far, and I know it all, I've been there and done that. Listen to me, if you're alive and breathing, you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You're still being polished. You're still being set apart. You're still being sanctified with the truth of God's word. And then whenever he's finished with you, then it's cap and gown day. Then you can graduate. Amen. And then you're going to see him face to face, the one who gave himself for you and loved you. I want you to know in the meantime, may we look to the Savior every day. Amen. And let us be different in a way that is bring honoring glory to his name. Let's pray.